from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to Cairo Nights. Thank you guys so much for listening. All right, we have a really fun show because I have been out, as you guys might have noticed. We've been doing some best ofs. We have so much stuff that I have been doing on some of the other shows. I've been co-hosting with Sherry in the afternoons. I've been co-hosting with Spike from noon to three. It's been very, very busy. But we've done all this really great stuff. We've had all these great stories. And I thought it would be fun if tonight we could look back on some of those conversations I've been having with Sherry, with Jack, with just everyone around the station here, and play some of those for you here tonight. So without further ado, let's get into it. Enjoy.
I followed this story, and I'm just not entirely sure. It's very hard to hear, okay? So this took place at, was it like a sort of an award show?
Yeah, it's like a red carpet event. There was a red carpet event, and you know who Hannah Waddington is, or Waddingham, I'm sorry, Hannah Waddingham is? Did you ever watch the Ted Lasso show?
No, I didn't, because it seemed too happy. So
well, yeah, you'd be right about that. Yeah. It's a very upbeat show, although there is some darkness there.
There's
some great character development. You should check it out. It actually was a really good show. I think you would enjoy it. His boss on the show is an actress by the name of Hannah Waddingham. She has become kind of a, I would say, like kind of a media darling. I think she even hosted over in Europe. I think she hosted Eurovision, and just like she's kind of everywhere. So she was on the red carpet. She's wearing a very fancy dress, as one does on a red carpet. And one of the photographers asks her for a different kind of pose. And he actually asked her to show a little bit of leg, apparently. And she was not happy about this. We're going to play this audio, but again, you're right. It's a little hard to hear because they were taking pictures, not recording great, but here's what it sounded like.
Oh, my God, you would never say that to a man, my God. Don't be a
So she basically, the audio is not great, but the photographer is, you know, when they're doing these like, you know, step and repeats or whatever this thing is, they're all getting the same shot. So the photographer's just trying to get some sort of a different angle, something to make the picture more interesting. And so he asked her to show a little bit of leg, which is not probably a common phrase thrown out there by photographers these days. And you can hear she's not happy about it. She says, don't be a D word and, kind of marches off. And I think that's kind of where it ended. But people are, you can hear people are applauding her in this video for taking such a strong stance. I'm interested in your thoughts on this, though.
Yeah, and the crowd went wild. Here's the thing. This is such a dumb thing to get upset about. First of all, when you see the ladies on the red carpet, a lot of them have a dress that slits all the way up to, you know, their hip bone practically.
Yeah.
And they often put one leg out, and that's the way they pose. I don't know if that's because photographers are saying, hey, show us your legs, or if that's just because they want to pose in a more sexy way than having the dress not open. But come on. Have we come so far that we can't take a compliment? Or this is not, I mean, is it sexist? Yeah, but okay. I mean, it's
I don't know. He might ask the same of a man. He might say, show me a little leg, you know, lift that trouser a little bit.
Yeah.
Can I get some ankle?
Show me some forearm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mean, it's possible. I just think we've really made this thing much bigger than it needs to be. And we've really boxed men in because they can't even say anything complimentary to women now without it being regarded as sexual harassment.
I think it would be really tough in this day and age. I mean, obviously this photographer was not, you know, trying to date her, I doubt, and he wasn't trying to come on to her and, you know, figure out if he might have a future with her. But like, if somebody's trying to meet in how do young people meet these days? How does somebody who's interested in somebody else meet these days? Especially if somebody works with you, there's so many boundaries and red flags that you would be so worried about crossing or, you know, planting, I guess would be the flag analogy to carry that through. By talking to somebody in a way, like if you're, like I met my wife at work and it was, I'll tell you, like I met her at work. We've been married almost 13 years now. So we have known each other now for like 16 years. even 16 years ago, I still had kind of a question mark in my head, like, oh, is this okay for me to ask her, you know, to approach her in this way? I don't want to make her uncomfortable. If it doesn't go well, then obviously that's the worst case scenario because now I'm a creepy guy that she has to work with. And that's an HR situation like that. And, you know, I think especially these days, that's probably happening less and less. People are just worried. If you go out on a limb, you pay somebody a compliment that could be like in any way sexual or in any way like, then, you know, they're going to report you and you're going to lose your job.
Right. And I'd say in the workplace, you can't be too careful because you never know of somebody's sensitivities. Where when I worked at another job, there was a woman who called up a guy on sexual harassment charges because he came out of his office one day and he simply said, and maybe I'm too much of the other extreme, but he said, you know, I was thinking about you. I was getting out of the shower today and I was thinking about you. And I think that your idea about blah, 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 blah. Okay. She thought that was so inappropriate.
Because he said shower.
Because he said, I was thinking about you and shower in the same sentence. And she called HR. He had to go through all kinds of retraining and, you know, mediation with her. And he was saying, it was just a stream of consciousness. I wasn't saying that there was anything else. Of course, he's going to say that, but
yeah,
but shower thoughts. That's like a thing people say.
You're totally right about that. Like whatever your brain like kind of like focuses in on, and like the shower, you're like, oh, like a lot of people have a lot of epiphanies in the shower because it's a different environment. Yes. You know, or like creative people are really creative when, you know, I don't know how it works, but it's just a weird situation. But it sounds to me like he was paying her a compliment. Like, oh, in my off time, I was thinking about your great work and your great ideas. And she took it as a way to, I don't know, hold power over him or something. I'm not even sure what the motivation was.
She was a bit of a manipulator. But yeah, I think that's what it was. I think that she, I don't know if she deliberately misinterpreted it, but
maybe saw an opportunity.
Yeah. But I don't believe for a minute that's what his thoughts were for lots of reasons. But if you are at work, you might want to get out those Tic Tacs because everybody wants to make sure they are not offensive.
Especially if you're going to hit on somebody that you work with. You want to have fresh breath.
That's part of it. They might not like you, you know, if you don't. But this is an interesting story. So, Jake, when you have had Tic Tacs, this is breaking news. If you have Tic Tacs, right, and you were to give me one, how would you do it?
I would open it and I'd pour Tic Tacs in your hand, just the same way everybody does it, I think.
Right, and usually like 16 come out, right?
Yeah,
And there's always that, and you can't put them back because they're already on your hand, and there's that weird, awkward moment.
Give me my Tic Tacs back. I didn't mean to give you so many.
Or the other person goes, whoa, I didn't want to take all these, but okay, I'll take them because I have them in my hand. You know, it's a strange exchange that you have.
Happens to all of us.
Yeah, when you get over TikTok.
That old chestnut.
Yeah. We've all been there. Oh, what a nightmare. Apparently, there is a much easier way to do this, and we've been missing it all this time.
There's an easier way than just opening the Tic Tac lid?
So what you do is you turn the Tic Tacs upside down, okay? And then you open the lid, you open the lid, and there's a tiny little Tic Tac sized compartment where the one Tic Tac will go and fall like Pez, and it'll come into that little compartment, and then you can offer the person the single Tic Tac.
It's in the top. Is this a that's definitely a good one.
I should have brought some Tic Tacs.
There's a new design that they've had on their lid? This is something they've just come up with to solve the 16 Tic Tac problem?
No. Jake, it has always been there, and we have overlooked it.
What?
We have overlooked.
Did you watch the video yet?
No, I
knew you. I know you were like intentionally avoiding it, but I think now is the time. Now's the time to watch the video.
So you just flip it upside down, and it already has a built-in thing that gives one Tic Tac.
A little Tic Tac receptacle.
That's amazing.
That's what it is.
Dispenser.
You know, it is amazing. Like, I know that we're laughing because it is such a stupid topic.
Right.
But it's like when somebody points out that there's an arrow in the FedEx name.
Exactly.
And you just go like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize there's an arrow in the FedEx name. Like, you've seen the arrow? Sherry?
No, I don't think I've ever seen that.
We need a couple breaking news banners.
Wow.
If you look at the FedEx logo, okay, there's an arrow built in the FedEx.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I've seen it, but I know.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Okay, but getting back to the Tic Tac thing, have you ever had this happen where you tap?
We have more on Tic Tacs. Okay.
Yeah. So you tap it and only one comes out, and you almost feel guilty that they didn't get a bunch of them, you know, where it's just like one measly little Tic Tac.
Well, yeah, of course I've had that happen. I always feel I've lost so many nights of sleep over that. I hate that.
Man, in retrospect, the Tic Tac topic doesn't play well on the radio.
No, I think it does. Here's what we got to do. We got to really commit. And we got to do the rest of the hour on Tic Tacs.
Rest of the hour? All day tomorrow?
Give the people what they want.
That's right.
No, that's interesting. I'm going to go right home and I'm going to get a Tic Tac thing. And I'm going to try that out for myself.
I walked to the convenience store earlier to get gum.
Yeah.
I knew we were talking Tic Tacs. I don't know why it didn't occur to me to buy Tic Tacs. I hate
You know you've been eating gum wrong? Did you know that?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Some kind of a...
No, there's no tricks.
I don't even like Tic Tacs. They taste plastic.
There's the lead.
And
they're buried that lead. I like Altoids.
Not even the orange ones?
Yeah, the orange ones are very
that's
special.
That's just like baby aspirin.
Are you kidding?
I like it.
Yeah, that's like cream soda. Those things are delicious.
That's what baby aspirin tastes like. Give me more.
Okay, this is stressful, but it's not as stressful as this time of the day. This is a study. Take it with a grain of salt. But they are saying, guess what time the most stressful time of the day is?
Do you want me to guess? Or do you?
No, you already know.
Okay, I already know the answer.
Yeah.
The answer to that is 8:15 a.m. And it's stressful because there's a lot of stuff going on at 8:15. We actually talked a little bit earlier about the school drop-off. I would say that this fits right in with that. Like, if I didn't have kids to drop off, I think my mornings would probably be pretty relaxed and they would feel great. But 8:15, generally when people are trying to get out of the house... they're also trying to get kids dressed. They're trying to make sure they have everything they need for the day. So 8:15, which is a real bummer when you think about it, because everybody to start your day with the most stressful moment of the day. I don't think
that's the way God intended it.
No, I don't think that is the way that God intended it to be. I think we should have a much easier day.
They give some tips about how you can make your day easier, but they're so obvious that I'm not even going to do it. But I'll tell you one habit that I got into. Have you ever done morning radio, either of you?
Oh, yeah, 21 years.
I have not, no.
Oh, okay. It is brutal. And you get up. I mean, I did mornings on TV and I did mornings on radio. And it isn't that you get up in the morning. You get up in the middle of the night, basically.
Yeah.
And I got into a habit of laying out my clothes, laying out everything, my socks, all of it, put it in the bathroom so I could get up and have most things done. I still do that.
I do, too.
I still do it. Now, I'm 3 hours ahead of you guys. I don't really start to work until, you know, I mean, I'm watching the news and all of that, but we get our first rundown at 2:00 in the afternoon. So conceivably, I have plenty of time to plan my wardrobe for that.
Yeah.
But no, it's such a habit for me. I every night I take out what I'm going to wear, put all my stuff in the bathroom after I take a shower. It's all there for me.
With me, it's just chaos. I just get up in the morning and just throw on whatever I can. I'm trying to get the kids out the door, and I'm not really thinking about what I'm... But my show is at night. You know, my show is at 7 to 10. Right. Anybody's interested, they can check that out. Kyra Knights or Jake Skorheim. Download the podcast. But
where do you download podcasts?
I am not starting until way later in the day. So I'm typically in pretty comfortable clothes until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Just kind of doing work at home.
Yeah. And then you got to put on something with a zipper.
And then I got to put on hard pants. Then I got to get my day going.
All right. More news you can use. This came as a surprise to me. Why you should wait 30 to 60 minutes to brush your teeth after vomiting.
We actually have a video of this. An actual dentist in London describes why you need to wait. So we'll let him do that and, you know.
I'm not sure that we should be taking dental advice from the British, but
that's a good point.
Wow, Sherry.
You're right. You know, this kind of makes sense with the way that they tell you.
Here are three occasions when you should never brush your teeth. You should never brush after you've just vomited. This is because the contents of the stomach are extremely acidic and the mouth is in a very acidic state. So if you brush straight after, you're basically wearing away your enamel. You should never brush straight after breakfast. This is because when you've just eaten, the mouth is in a very acidic state. So if you brush your teeth, you're rubbing that acid on the tooth, which is a mineral, and it can wear it down. Don't brush your teeth after you've just had sweets. Wait at least 60 minutes. This is because when you've just eaten sweets, the mouth has digested it into an acid, and that acid is going to get rubbed on the teeth and destroy the enamel. So wait at least 60 minutes before you brush your teeth.
It's all acid related. Sounds like that's a very big enemy of the dental practice. Just acid on your teeth.
I've been doing that wrong for a long time.
Every time
when I vomit every hour on the hour, yeah. I always brush my teeth.
But you know what? You look great.
Thank you. It's worth it.
It's,
I'm telling
it's
you.
It's working.
It's so worth it.
98 pounds.
That's right. Yep.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, tonight we're doing something a little bit different. I've been filling in on some of the other shows. So we're going to actually be looking back at some of those other shows. I've been filling in with Sherry on the John Curry and Sherry Ehrlicher show. I've been filling in with Spike on the Jack and Spike show from noon to 3. So we're going to take some of those segments and we're going to replay them. Some of our favorite segments from these different shows, we're going to replay them for you here tonight. So without further ado, enjoy.
I don't really remember as a kid, shortly after the earth cooled, I always took a school bus or I walked to school. When I lived in Hawaii, everybody walked to school because the schools were, you know, pretty close to where we lived.
Wait a minute. Did you live in Hawaii?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Did I.
What? Where?
I lived in Oahu.
Well, I lived in Kailua.
You're kidding. I actually lived in Manoa, which is just a little outside of it's part of Oahu, but, that's amazing that we both live there.
Yeah.
Did we know each other?
I think we did. Jake,
were we best friends growing up?
Jake, where have you been? I knew I'd find you someday.
Aloha,
Sherry.
Aloha.
Aloha, mahala, mahalo.
All right, back to your story.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, so I don't really remember. I took a bus, I walked, or whatever we did. So this idea of the school bus line or the drop-off line is foreign to me.
This is not the bus line. This is not the bus line. This is a very different thing.
Okay. It's enough of a problem.
Yes.
The Wall Street Journal has done a big article about it, and they have quoted parents everywhere from Pennsylvania to South Carolina to Texas to North Carolina explaining the frustration and the almost chaos that ensues, I guess, every morning or every afternoon.
This
please
does happen.
Explain.
This does
please
happen
explain.
Every day. Yeah. So I have, as I, you know, I've talked about, I have three small kids and I have two of them go to elementary school right now and they go to the same school. Thank the Lord, because if we had to do this at multiple schools, that would be insane. Although I do have another kid who goes to a preschool, but it's a whole different drop off situation. So it's not like chaos there. What happens in the morning is, number one, everybody's stressed out. You're just trying to get the kids dressed and out the door on time. So then you're already going into the situation feeling a little bit chaotic. And then you get to school, and if you haven't made it out of the house early, which nobody almost ever makes it out of the house early, you're left trying to like fight for a spot in line to drop your kids off, unless you want to walk them. And not everybody can walk their kids because you have to find parking. It's nearly impossible to find parking within like a mile radius of the school because there's just no parking. Everyone has already taken it up, the people who are smart enough to leave early. And so you can't just like walk your kids up to the front door and like, you know, push them off and say goodbye. So you end up getting in the car line. And so the car line stretches a very long way. And your kids will inevitably be late, because the way the car line works out is you all have to snake your way slowly into the parking lot of the school. You're not allowed to go in there unless you're a teacher, but you can get in the car line, drop your kids off. Everybody pulls up in front of the school. One of the teachers or one of the parking attendants comes over and opens the door for your kid, and then your kid gets out. And the entire process just takes forever. It takes a really long time. The other thing that doesn't help, and they talk about it in this Wall Street Journal article, which I have totally experienced. Listen to this story real fast. Where is this at? This is at Red Oak Middle School in North Carolina. Do not cut the line. Do not drive on the gravel path near the water tower, Principal Michael Giroud told Red Oak Middle School parents in North Carolina in a scolding missive. If you find yourself running late, get up earlier. You can hear the tone there, which is also not helpful. The school seems to have this, you know, I'm not saying this is my kid's school because they're angels, obviously. I would never say anything negative about my kid's school.
Good plan.
Yes. But the tone that I'm getting from a lot of these stories and from other parents who've talked to me, again, I haven't experienced this myself, but from other parents, the school has kind of this self-righteous attitude about, well, you should have thought about this. You should have gotten up earlier. You should, like, we're all here. Why couldn't you get here earlier? Why couldn't you get to school on time? Why couldn't you park a mile away and then walk your kids to school? And it is a very chaotic thing. And people are trying to figure out every which way they can to drop their kids off.
So can I ask a question?
Please.
When you say your kids, are kids not allowed to walk to school by themselves anymore?
Well, what, do you want to have your kids abducted? Okay. Nobody wants your kids to walk anymore.
So that's the frowned upon. Just people don't do it.
Well, right? Maybe, I mean, at an older age, again, my kids are elementary school. Okay. So typically you don't see elementary school kids walking to school.
Right. Yeah. And if they live more than, you know, two blocks away, they're not going to like that.
Yeah.
Does this also happen at pickup time? Do they have a different way to get home?
Pickup time's even worse. Because the kids are tired too. The parents are tired, the kids are tired. It's bad. It's bad coming and going. It's really bad. Listen to this. I actually thought this was hilarious because I empathize with the parent here. This was in Northeast Pennsylvania. The drop-off drama has shifted from the school grounds to the U.S. District Court. The case started last August after Sarah Kim criticized her school superintendent, who was working curbside during the school drop-off. Quote, "My children received their first lesson of the school year. The superintendent screams at parents with her arms in the air as a tactic to move the line along," Kim wrote on Facebook. Her lawsuit said, the superintendent, whose name is Michelle Hartzell, emailed Kim that day. Apparently she saw this. Somebody sent it to her. So she emails the mom who posts this, asking her to delete the post. Quote, "possibly considering using some kinder words such as, wow, it's nice to see our superintendent help out."
Sure.
Obviously, she's not going to write that. Kim declined in an email response. She said, "you had absolutely no qualms about embarrassing me in front of other parents, faculty, and children. Why wouldn't I return the favor?" In March, this parent sued the school district, Ann Hartzell, and school board president Nick Mobilia, alleging that they retaliated against her for exercising free speech. She claims Hartzell gave Mobilia a video of the drop-off incident and that Mobilia showed customers at his wine business in town, causing Kim anxiety, embarrassment, and emotional distress. The suit is pending. Kim's lawyer declined to comment, as did Hartzell and Mobilia. So this is like a... this is a big issue.
Well, can I play devil's advocate for just a second?
Yeah, please.
Okay. If you and your kids got up an hour earlier, would that resolve the problem?
No, it would not. And let me explain why.
Okay.
Because kids thrive on routine. Every single day, it's about routine. I cannot add an extra hour of life with my kids in the morning. That just can't happen. They need to sleep as long as possible. And then we feed them breakfast as quickly as possible. And then we get them to school. Like, if they get up too early, the whole end of the day is shot. So if we just add an hour on just so I can be on time, and I'm on time. Like, my kids are getting there on time. We park offsite. I walk my kids in. But some of these crossing guards, if I'm being completely honest, again, I've never experienced this, but I've heard at other schools, some of the crossing guards, they get a little bit, they have words. They have choice words for certain people. Again, not my experience, my kids' school, angels. But everywhere else, I heard that the parking, people who run the parking can be a little difficult.
Okay, what if you got up a half an hour early?
It's really not a parent situation.
Isn't this all kind of controlled by time? So if you can get there earlier, you won't have the kind of distress that you have.
Yes.
I know. I'm sorry I'm making sense, but it just seems that the solution lies with the parents, because if they could get there earlier, it would move along faster.
No, because that forces me to take a personal level of responsibility that I just don't want to take.
No, therein lies the problem. No.
I don't want to, Sherry. That's why.
I know. I know. But, you know, parents are in control here, whether they want to admit it or not.
No, you're right. You're right. I could. I could get up earlier. I could get my kids up earlier. We could get to school 25 minutes before the bell. I guess that's a possibility. Sure.
Yes, this is one of Jake's big irritants. And coming up, we're going to talk about another one, which is Coachella. For some reason, anything having to do with it angers him. And also coming up, do you know when you give somebody a Tic Tac, you're doing it wrong? This is breaking news. You're not going to believe what you need to know when you distribute Tic Tacs.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, tonight we're doing something a little bit different. I've been filling in on some of the other shows. So we're going to actually be looking back at some of those other shows. I've been filling in with Sherry on the John Curry and Sherry Ehrlicher show. I've been filling in with Spike on the Jack and Spike show from noon to 3. So we're going to take some of those segments and we're going to replay them. Some of our favorite segments from these different shows, we're going to replay them for you here tonight. So without further ado, enjoy.
It's the John Curley and Sherry Ehrlicher show. Thanks so much for listening, and thank you to Jake Skorheim. He is in for John today. Lots of people responding to our talk about the school line dropping off kids. Elementary schools won't allow 40% of the kids waiting half an hour before the school opens, so parents can't drop off too early. That comes from Doug in Mount Vernon. So, Doug, I don't think I was suggesting that you get up at 2 in the morning and leave your kids on the curb. I just mean that clearly, the people that get there the earliest are the ones in the front of the line. We'd love to hear from you. You could be letter of the day. All you have to do is go to our Muckleshoot Resort text line. That's 1-888-973-5476. Today's theme is we're trying to irritate Jake as much as possible. And Jake, what is the problem that you have with Coachella? I mean, is it that it's turned into something you don't like? Is it that you just think that people are too braggadocious about it, or what's the issue with you?
You know, for people who don't know what Coachella is, Coachella is a music festival that they do every year down in the desert. I believe it's in
Coachella Valley.
Yeah, it's like Palm Springs area, yeah, exactly. Palm Desert. So it's a really nice area. This is a really, you know, a popular thing for famous, like young famous, not just young famous people. Like I saw a picture of Jeff Bezos there earlier, or maybe it was yesterday.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry. And let me guess, his wife was wearing a leather bustier and chaps.
Well, let me just say, I don't think they're married yet. I think she's his fiance.
Yeah.
And I think she was wearing some sort of a very shiny dress. But
no kidding.
Jeff Bezos was there, and I guess the thing that I have, the question I have about Coachella, I understand music festivals when you're young. I get it. I went to music festivals when I was young. I thought they were fun because you're young and you think that not being able to go to an actually ventilated restroom or enjoy, you know, nice indoor, cool AC, those are things you don't care about when you're young. You just want to see music and you want to be drinking in the sun. All of that sounds fun. But when you reach a certain age, I don't understand why so many people need to be seen there. And that's the thing that makes me kind of annoyed by it. I don't understand why Jeff Bezos, at times the richest man in the world, would be interested in going to Coachella. I don't get that. And I respect what he's done in business. I don't know anything about the man in his personal life other than he leads a very colorful life. So he does a lot of interesting things. I don't know why Coachella would be on that list.
I can tell you.
Please.
Jeff Bezos desperately wants to be relevant in terms of pop culture and all of that stuff. Yeah. So I think that for him, that's a cool thing to go to. And if you're a celebrity, it's even cooler, right? And it's, you know, it makes him look like he's, you know, hip and happening and all of that.
He's hip. He's with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's why.
Yeah.
You think he really wants, when he could be in one of his billion-dollar mansions or
massive floating city-size yachts.
Yes. Yeah, but no doubt. Oh, no. Original No Doubt members got back together, Sherry. Come on.
At Coachella?
Yeah.
Oh, I take it back.
Oh, you know that?
I would go. No, I'm just
really?
Kidding. I would not. No, I would
for,
not go.
For of course No I, Doubt? Really?
No, I would not go to Coachella for No Doubt. I wouldn't go to Coachella for any reason. I just wouldn't go. And people take pictures. That's just it. It's all pictures of people wearing almost nothing in the desert. And I just, you know, I understand the appeal when you're young. I'm just not getting it right now.
Well, maybe that's why Jeff Bezos is going, because his wife, or I'm sorry, fiance generally wears nothing. So maybe she would like to go and show off there.
Well, there you go. That could be it. That might be it. They would certainly fit right in, I think, at Coachella.
By the way, yes. 2 breakfast burritos at Coachella.
Oh, yes. The other thing, the price. Tell us the prices.
$64 for 2 breakfast burritos. They're not like spectacularly sized breakfast burritos.
Is there only one vendor, only one food
No,
vendor?
Everything's expensive. No,
everything's really expensive.
You want to get a bowl of noodles, $25. If you're interested in some Coca-Cola, $8. A double vodka, $28.
Wow.
A couple of hot dogs, $45. Just like your average hot dog, $45.
This is worse than Broadway.
Slice of pizza, $11. Full pizza, $60.
So you need a separate bank account just to, if you want to get a drink of water there.
Unless you're Jeff Bezos, in which case, you, right. Like, he could drink as much water as he wants.
Of course he can.